It could be falling off, yeah. But if it falls off, somebody tell me, I won't notice it. So, okay, how many want to go to heaven? Okay, all right. We're going to talk a little bit about heaven today, and we're not getting up a load right now like that Rod Brasfield joke was, but God's getting up a load sooner or later. So anyway, so here's where we kind of, in summary, what we've done, what we've talked about in the past, okay? Our first Sunday, we talked about people, what happens when you die. We talked about the current heaven, present heaven, as it is right now. And we talked about what heaven will be. It's going to be the new earth. It'll be it'll be like this earth, only a whole lot better than this earth. And this earth kind of gives a foreshadowing of what the new earth is going to be. It's a little bit like it, but it's going to be a whole lot better than that. And then last week we talked about the travail of the earth, that the earth is in labor, anticipating the day when the new earth will come, and that not just people are anticipating the coming of the new earth, but all of creation is in waiting for the new earth. And not only are we just waiting, are all of us just waiting, there are pangs, like pangs of childbirth in one of the Old Testament passages, and in some of the new passages, like in Philippians, that the earth is going through difficulties, looking forward to the coming of the new earth. And so it's all out there in the future. And then we talked a little bit about our spiritual bodies. And we use the body of Jesus as kind of an example of what to look at to get a feel for what our spiritual bodies are going to be capable of. And we talked about Jesus was able to make himself unrecognizable to people. He was able to come and go, walk through walls. He was able to be touched, though it was physical. It was not just a spiritual, nuance. Thomas could actually see and put his finger in the piercings into the riven side there. So it is a physical body that you can see, feel, and it's tangible, but it has some qualities that are going to be quite exciting. And so Jesus was able to kind of come and be gone and disappear and reappear, go to one place to another instantaneously, I think. And if that's the situation, he's the first of the resurrected ones. He's our pattern for that. The whole idea is his body, the spiritual body of Jesus, gives us a real good taste of what our spiritual bodies are going to look like and going to feel like, going to act like. Only we don't really have enough information. We're just having to go by just a little bit to make some assumptions based on what we see in the Scripture. So today we're going to talk about what actually happens at the redemption. The redemption is really the big thing, because everything in human history and earthly history is going to all culminate at the redemption. we talk about the redeemed. We use the word redeemed, but sometimes I think we use the word redeemed with a lack of complete understanding of what redemption really, really is. It's because we probably cannot completely understand what redemption really, really is, and won't until we see it in our own selves and in the time that it really comes. But it's the time when the old earth is gone and the new earth is revealed, and things happen that bring it all together in one space, in one place. So that's kind of where we are today. We're talking about the redemption of the earth, and then we're going to try to spend some time today talking about what's life going to be like on the new earth. What are we going to be doing all the time? I think I mentioned in the first lesson that we all grew up, maybe you did, I did, thinking that we're going to be having one long Devo. We're going to be singing Kumbaya forever and ever, amen. I hope that we will all discover today that there's a whole lot more than just sitting around singing and worshiping and praising God, although that will be what it is all about, is praising our whole lives, praising God. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. So I have some passages out there, and I've given them to certain people. We're going to start out in Revelation chapter 20, 21, and 22. That is the time, the moment of redemption. And this is a description of the moment of redemption when things all happen and culminate. So find that in your Bible. I'd like to start out with passage number 1. And it really starts in Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1 through 7 talks about the 1,000 years. And I mentioned to you all maybe last week the idea that there is this 1,000 years, that something out there, that there's a lot of misunderstanding in Christian circles and in our fellowship too, or in all of the fellowships, about what that 1,000-year deal is. We don't I haven't studied enough about that to do much more than to tell you that it's there in Revelation. One of the things that I wanted to also just remind everybody of is a lot of the Bible and a great deal of the passages that are found in Revelation may be symbolic. They may be so magnificent that they can't be described in any other way other than some of the ways that our finite minds can absorb. So some of the things that we read in Revelation are clearly pointing to things that we cannot fathom, or things that we can't completely describe or understand. And where the trick comes there is, it's hard to tell which is which, because it's prophecy, it's revelation. And so we have to kind of do some assumptions and figure it out. All of this is really right there in the scripture. But I would just want to remind everybody that this is one of those situations. It's not a salvation issue. It's not a matter of life and death. What we're trying to do here is just to get a picture of the actual redemption scene. And that's kind of where we're going to camp right now. I don't know about the 1,000 years. I don't know about things like rapture and all that stuff. But here's what happens in my passage, okay? Passage chapter 1, I saw a great white throne. This is John, who has been taken into heaven and shown around, ushered around by angels. And this is chapter 20, verse 11. He sees the throne. He sees him who sealed the throne. Present earth and sky were now gone, and there was not a place found for them. And then the dead, great and small, come together in this big judgment scene. And I think several years ago when I was doing this class, we talked a little bit about the judgment. And the whole idea of the judgment is this. We think of this maybe as a courtroom scene with a judge and all of us out there, maybe a jury to listen to things, and then a decision is made. That is not exactly what judgment is. Just as a reminder, judgment is the pronouncing of the sentence. Okay? So if the judgment is pronouncing of the sentence, where is court happening? Where are discussions about guilt and innocence and so forth, where is all that happening? Where is the courtroom? What's going on in the courtroom? If the judgment day is the pronunciation of a sentence,
life.
We're living it right now. Yeah. We're right in the middle of the trial. And so those are really the trial that's going on in all of our lives, with all the things going on here, will determine what the judgment is going to be pronounced out of in the judgment scene. And so the dead were judged, books are open, and then another book is open, and they were judged by what was written in the book, and the sea gave up the dead, the dead in Hades give up their dead, and then they were judged, each one of them according to how they had lived, what they'd done. And then death and Hades. Now, do you remember what Hades is? According to the Jewish tradition and Peter's thing, you know, Jesus went to Hades. He was not remanded to stay in Hades for eternity. But today he told the at the cross, he tells the thief, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Paradise is part of, is in Hades. Hades is just the place where, in the Jewish vernacular, is the place of the dead. Is the residing place of the dead. So death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire, and that's the second death. And anybody who doesn't have their name written in that book will also be thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, we have a second passage here. Who has the second passage? Would you give us a summary of what I've kind of assigned it, but I forgot who has passage two.
So the second passage is Revelations 21, 1 through 8. It is the new heaven and a new earth. And he saw a new heaven and a new earth because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So to me, in this scripture, it's all talking about every bad thing that we possibly can imagine now being gone. And he replaces it with the holy city of New Jerusalem. And he said it's coming down from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Heard a loud voice, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. So everything bad is gone. And now he's wiping away all the bad stuff. And he's replacing it with every good thing that we could possibly imagine. He's making everything new. But also, he's telling us that everything at this point is finished. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega, first and the last. So everything that I have been working for from the time that I came into the world as the Son of God, went on the cross, died for the sins, everything is finished now, and everyone who believes in me will be living with me. He also finishes about those who do not believe in him. There's also a place for them, and it is not the new heaven and a new earth. It is a place where all sinful men, people who do not believe in him, will be thrown into a lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death.
Great. Thank you, Larry. Appreciate that. Okay, passage three. Okay.
So one of the seven angels, the one that had the seven plagues, spoke to him and said, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So what he's going to do is describe so that we can understand what this is going to look like. He showed him the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from heaven. It talks about its radiance is more radiant than any jewel that we've seen, but it's like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates. Here's our number 12 and everything. 12 angels with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel inscribed on them. And on the east, there were three gates, the north three gates, the south three gates, and the west three gates. Of course, that's 12 altogether. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles. And the one that spoke to him had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. So the city is four square. Its length is the same as its width, and it measures 12,000 stadia. Its length and width are equal. It is 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. And the wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
Awesome. So you're talking about all those stadia. How big is that? It's about 1,400 miles. That's the equivalent of about 1,400 miles in any one distance. So if you were to take, when I used to live in Texas, and we'd come back to Tennessee to visit. When I would drive from the Mount Juliet area to Dallas, to our home in Dallas, Texas. That was about 600 miles. Dallas is halfway between Nashville and El Paso. Okay, that's the midpoint. Texas is a big old state, okay? So we've driven all day long, sometimes 2 days, from Nashville to Dallas. And then you drive another 700 miles from Dallas through Fort Worth, Abilene, down to El Paso, far west. That's not quite 1,300 miles. You could take the western part of the Appalachian Mountain, just west of the Appalachians, all the way into California, Canada, all the way down into Mexico. That's about the length we're talking about. So the length, 1,400 miles, Father. The width, 1,400 miles, the Son. The depth, 1,400 miles, the Holy Spirit. So you see the Trinity, the three pieces of God. That was the significance of that one passage there, that it's a three-part situation. But so this is just a city that's going to come down to the new earth, okay? So there's a whole lot more on the new earth, but we're talking just about the holy city, the bride of Christ. So there's a whole lot more to come. All right, passage 3.
So passage 4 is Revelations 21, 21 through 27. And this is where John describes the 12 gates, that they were 12 pearls, and each gate was a single pearl. And the streets were of pure gold. And it also says they're pure gold, and then they're transparent glass. To me, that does not go together. But it's just kind of a, you feel like those are the best words John could figure out to use, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was no temple in the city, because the temple is the Lord God and the Lamb. The city has no need of sun or moon, because the glory of the Lord makes the light, and the Lamb is the lamp. The light, and by its light, the nations walk. And so the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there's no night at all. So it's just open all the time. It's just day all the time. And the kings will bring their glory into the to honor of the nations. Nothing unclean will ever enter, nor will anyone that is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The book.
Great. The book. Okay, so we see 12 gates that are never shut. Why do you have gates? Why do you have walls? It's the definition of the city. That's really all what it amounts to. But all those layers, we could have made a list of all of the foundations of the wall, that there's, you know, all these layers of jewels and so forth. The splendor of this thing is going to be absolutely incredible. The whole idea is this is beyond what the earthly imagination of any man or woman could have, and this was John's thing. One of the things that came to me as we were thinking about this is there's no night there. You don't need lamps. God is the light, and it is all going to be just amazing. That's one other thing I was going to make. The transparent glass, I bet it's just real shiny, you know. It's like iridescent. It probably reflects light. It's probably bright. It's kind of like getting new lenses in your eyes when you have cataracts. Everything looks a whole lot brighter when you get that done, and I highly recommend that. Okay, passage number 5.
This is Revelation 22, 1 through 7, and it talks about the description of the area of the river of life. And everything's going by crystal. Crystal means shiny. You know, if you polish gold up real polished, it is, and then the light of God hitting that, I mean, I'm sure that's pretty bright and pretty crystal clear. Following from the throne of God and the Lamb, the street of the city And it talks about on either side is the river. So the river of life is always flowing on either side of you. And that the tree of life being giving off 12 different fruits, one each month. And so, you know, it takes us a season to get one fruit out of a tree. So, I mean, that is past human ability to think and ability to comprehend. It talks about its leaves of the tree being healing for all the nations. So not just the fruit of the tree, but the actual just leaves have a pronounced a meaning. No longer will there be an accursed, but God is the Lamb that He's given everyone, and all the servants, which would be us, would be worshiping Him. We will actually get to see God's face again one time, not just one time, but from then on. And we will have His name on our foreheads, like we are His children. Like we get a last name to tell us who we are, then we will have His name on us. Just like they were saying, there will be no night, and He will be the light of the only night we will need, the only night, light source. We can trust in this. His words are trustworthy, and the Lord God of the spirits of the prophets has sent His angel to show His servants what must soon take place. So this is like an open book test for us, and we tell our kids open book test. If you flunk an open book test, you know, it's pretty sad. So if we flunk with an open book test and we know what's coming, it's your own fault. And you deserve what you get. So it's just saying, you know, here it is, come partake, and this is what God wants to give you. And she's talking about the pearl being as big as a stone. Does that go back to His stone that He rolled away to be revealed, that a pearl was?
Great analogy. Awesome analogy. Hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Great.
Man can preach.
Well done. Well done. Hey, thanks to all of you who interpreted these passages, because after all, this is Revelation, and these passages can be taken literally or not. We are not totally sure. I think this part of Revelation, I like to take that as to be the truth. So, speaking of test, true or false? God originally intended for us to live on the earth forever. True or false? Did God intend for mankind to live on the earth forever? Yes, He did. And well, the fact that the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden for them to partake of is a strong indicator that God intended for people to never die. And the effects of the tree of life in their presence was pretty long-lasting. Think about this. How long did Adam live? Even after he got kicked out of the garden, how old was he when he died? Remember?
900,000 years. I just round up.
930 years.
Not yet.
You know? And the oldest man, who? There you go. So, you know, those guys lived up to nearly 1,000 years. That's the effect of the tree of life at that point. But look at David when he gets to the Psalms. You know, you've got the flood and all that stuff. And then he writes in his Psalms that the length of man's days is 70 years.
Jacob lived to 130, so.
Yeah, so you see, it's like things went down historically rather dramatically. And so you are, you know, not many people get to 130, but, you know, 70 or 80 years, that's about it for the mankind. That's even in modern times with modern medicine as it is, okay? So I just wanted to say that the tree of life serves as the reminder that God really intended us to live and never die. But, of course, Satan came into the picture. Okay, what are we going to do in heaven? True or false? We will hold jobs and we will work in heaven. True or false?
working. No more working. Everything's going to be paradise. I mean, I don't think we would need a job. What are we going to pay for?
But we do. Don't we tell the angels what to do? Isn't that our job?
Well, that's part of it, because we are a little, right now, a little lower than the angels. But at that point, we're going to be judging angels. Humans will be judging angels. I forgot to bring that passage with me, but it's mentioned, I think, in one of the Corinthian letters that we will be in judgment of angels. That's another topic. If you were to read Isaiah chapter 60, that is a description of things that are going on in heaven. I recommend that as homework reading because it talks about all the things that are happening in heaven. Okay? For example, in one of our readings, it says that the kings will be bringing their produce to the city. The city, we just read that. The kings. So there are other kings. Okay? So this must this indeed suggests a government with hierarchy and that it will be divided and divided and divided through different kingdoms, the different cities, different things, and it's the government is going to be not a democracy. It will be a monarchy. But throughout the whole passages of Isaiah, we talk about we read about traveling, commerce, and bustling activity. And basically, what it says in Isaiah 60 is that the work that the people are bringing, the glory, they're all bringing it to Jerusalem as a sacrifice and as a gift to God in His glory. Well, where does all that produce and product come from? And what did God tell Adam and Eve to do in the Garden of Eden about the trees and so forth? Did He not give them a job to do? And their work was to take care of that garden, correct? Now, that was an agrarian society, but who's to say there'll be more than an agrarian society in heaven? You know, who's to say that there won't be new learning and people learning and gaining activity, more knowledge of what's going on? Who's to say that they're not schools? They're probably not going to be prisons and hospitals. Nobody's going to get sick and get in jail. But in Isaiah 60, the picture of produce and work and product and activity is pretty vivid. And so, yes.
Would that be a job or would that be a hobby?
Well, here's the thing.
Because hobbies we enjoy, jobs we don't.
Yeah, yeah. But you work on those hobbies and you are productive. What if you had a job that did not have a gossip that worked there with you? A gossipy, mean person? Or somebody who had who was trying to get ahead and would stab you in the back if you let them? You know, what if you had a job where there was no evil, there was no corruption, a job that you loved and enjoyed that was just fixed, set for you? Would that feel like work?
It's a hobby.
Yeah. Well, that's a great hobby. Okay. But it's work. I mean, a hobby is work. If you do your hobby all day long, you're going to be tired that evening, right? Whether it's whatever it is. And so it appears to me that we'll all be busy and making produce and then giving all that goods and bringing it in to our leaders, whatever the hierarchy is, and it all ends up in the province or cities or towns or whatever, and then those kings take it to the next level, and the next level, till it all ends up in Jerusalem. That's what I think. Can't prove it, but that's what I think. Except for Isaiah 60 gives us some really good indications that life in heaven is going to be active and fulfilling and satisfying and easier to do. And we'll still get to have fun. I bet we'll still get to go fishing, hunt, and do whatever fun stuff we'd like to do. Those of you who like to play golf, you'll be able to hit it 300 yards right down the middle. You know.
Had a senior moment, and I'm only 51. oh, wow.
Downhill from there, I'll tell you.
I feel like it.
Come back to you? Yeah, okay, we'll go ahead, Larry.
What do we know about the universe? Will it be in existence, or will we be exploring that as part of our job?
It seems
since
to me.
Since Christ could go through walls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we could go through things and travel quickly to vast dimensions in the universe.
Yeah, I mean, this blue ball that we're living on now is going to be gone. It's going to be a new earth. But what happens to space? Space is unbelievably vast. We can't even measure it. But who's to say we won't do exploration out in space, looking for new worlds, finding other people, who knows? Yeah, that's in completely within the possibility. Yeah. Okay, one more thing. Are we going to eat in heaven? Is there going to be food? Okay, so what's the fruit of the tree here? Okay. And how often does it come?
Once a month.
Once a month. We sing that earth, we sing that song, and there's no night there, and we count night time by years. Well, we're going to count it by months. So there is time in earth, folks. Time is going to be reckoned. We're not going to get any older, but it's going to be just a way of saying we're going to be there. We were there yesterday. We're going to be here tomorrow, and we've been here. But we will be measuring our time tomorrow. Will there be different levels or degrees of reward in heaven?
Well, if we're going to have different levels of nation or different levels of monarchy, or there's going to be different levels of pretty much everything. But I think our physical knowledge or comprehension is so finite. Yeah, just so finite of what actually, just like, yeah. You know, we're talking about John, that's probably the best words he could come up with.
Yep.
We just can't even fathom the gloriousness of what's he's getting ready for us.
Yeah.
And who cares if we have, I mean, who cares if you have different levels, as long as you get in the game. I mean, I'll sit on the bench, you know, to be able to get into the game. I mean, everybody in the world wins the World Series or the Super Bowl, they all get a ring. So.
They made it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, if you're there, you get a ring.
Yeah. So if we can just make it in the door. You know, I've got a mansion just so, no, heck no, I'll take an outhouse, you know, whatever.
Yeah, as long as it's not burning, we're good.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right.
A golden outhouse.
That's right.
You think about Jesus' parable about the workers, and they all got the same. So I don't know how that plays into whether you worked all day or whether you started at 6 or you started at 9 or you worked from, 6 to 7 at night. It was all the same.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, they get the same. And then you got the parable of the good and faithful servants are given 5 talents, 3 talents and 2. And, they all come back with, they've doubled, the first two double their earnings, and but Jesus says to him, you've been faithful over a little, I'm going to set you over much, enter into the joy of the master. He who had received the one talent was poo-pooed, basically, and said, you should have at least taken and had, let it go out and get somebody borrow and get a little interest off the money. And he didn't get the prize. But basically, he told those folks, you've been faithful over little, I will give you much. In, I think, the Luke version, it says, I'm going to give you leadership over 10 cities. And the other one, the three-talent guy, I'm going to give you leadership over 5 cities. Those are pretty literal cities. So, I don't know. Those others in your, they get the same. These guys, talents doubled. They got to be rulers over certain cities. So I think it's going to be a little bit of both. But like Chris said, I'm just wanting to get in. If I can get in the door, that's all I can take. And I'll be happy. Okay, our time is over. I'm going to talk next week about relationships. And that'll be kind of the winding things. What are relationships going to be like in heaven? Is there going to be gender? And then the all-important question about, how about them poor animals? Did they make it? Are we going to have my dog? Anyway, we're going to talk about relationships with other people and God next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Announcements, and then we'll have Brandon close us in prayer. I know that the a cappella group's coming, and I haven't got my tickets, so I just remind you, go get your tickets, because I think that's going to be a fantastic event. And probably with this revival that's going on in Kentucky, who knows what it could springboard into. So God's at work. Thank you for your message today. Sandy's not here. Okay, Anna Rose, you're here. Your uncle had an open heart, and your aunt had some arthritis? Alzheimer's, sorry. I can't read his writing. He's kind of scribbles. So, Mike, sisters passed, other sisters cancer. Any updates on you guys? Thank you for the update. Yep, brother-in-law. House burned down, right? Yeah. How's that going? They feel supported and loved and have everything they need? It's pretty stressful. I got a penny and some cancer. I can't read it. Huh? That's it. That's it, actually, yes. Okay. Okay, any other prayer requests that need to be made known? Yes, sir, Mark? Mayo. Okay. I actually had them on the list. I just couldn't read all the stuff in front of it and around it. Okay. Tuesday. At any time? Okay. Anybody else? Yes. Okay, great. Okay. Have you got any? Is it good, been a good trip for them? I bet that border is kind of not very fun. Oh, wow. That's so neat. You shipping it back across? Sorry, it's bad. Yeah, Baja trip, I've got that. Okay. Any birthdays? I got to channel my inner Joey here. Any birthdays we're missing or anniversaries? Be honest. Okay. You're trying to hide something. You got that look. She's like, Teddy, come on. We got to sing happy birthday to Teddy, right? This Friday coming up. See, you got to look around. You got to make that eye contact. See, I can tell you're hiding something. All right, everybody, a little happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Teddy. Happy birthday to you. All right. Brandon, would you come pray for us out?
Heavenly Father, let's pray. Thank you so much for all that you do for us, the seen and the unseen, the known, the unknown. Just talking today about a glimpse of what life will be once your Son comes back and redeems the world, it's really difficult to comprehend, and we pray that you will continue to guide us, continue to lead us in the path that will bring as many people into that heavenly kingdom as possible. We pray that you will help us to find those that are in need and show them that there is a better way, and that way is your Son, Jesus. We pray for those who are in need, both physically, mentally, spiritually, especially those who have been presented here in class today. We pray that you will guide them in the way that they need towards you. And in your Son's name we pray, amen.
And you're dismissed.